What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdaw, C70 at the bat. With me, Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily at amedlock1 on Twitter. Here we are, September the 8th. Cardinals have just wrapped up a 4-1 win over Pittsburgh. And with the fact that the Rockies are losing right now to the Dodgers, it looks like they will be 3 games out of the wild card, 5 games out of the division, here with basically 3 weeks remaining. Alan, as crazy as this year has been, as many times as we've tried to bury this team and talk about selling and all this, it just is very strange that they're playing significant baseball here in the last month of the year.
Yeah, and arguably could be playing their best. I mean, I know that we had the 8-game winning streak, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then kind of seemed to come back down to normal after that. But now they kind of seem to be their pitching's returned, and their bullpen's kind of stabilized. I know there's still not a lot of confidence right now, and the offense is coming around. So. I don't know. You know, it's still one of those that they're still a head scratcher. You know what I mean? I still don't really want to buy in. But you know, all we ask for all summer is not to ruin our summer and to be in it. And they're playing meaningful games in September, and other teams are making it much more memorable. So I'm just kind of enjoying the ride at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a little help from your friends or. Other people's not so friendly, I guess. Cubs have lost some games, like to the Reds and things, that have kept the Cardinals in it. You know, the Brewers stumbled some as well to the Reds, which got the Cardinals right back in it. It's good to see, but yeah, you gotta, as much as. You know, I know we got really excited, especially, you know, after that third win in San Francisco, and you start looking at it and you're like, oh, wow, they're only 4 games out of the division. There were only 2 games out of the wild card at that time. You know, man, this really looks like it's going to happen. You know, it's still they've got to win, I think I figured it up this morning, it was 15-7. If they went 15-7 down the break, that's still only like 87 wins. And they won one of those today, so it's 14-7 of the rest of their games. But that's winning 2/3 of your ball games, and that's feels like a lot of things to ask for this team to do. And there's no guarantee that's going to get them in. So the odds are better, but there's just so little time in the season to really make that push. And I know 2011, whatever, and I know it can happen, especially when you've got. You know, a few games left for the Brewers and a schedule that should be favorable. But it's difficult to see, you know, that I feel like they've just, you're right, they're playing their best baseball, but it may be a little too late.
Sure. And, well, the schedule may be the key on that as well. If it wasn't for the head-to-heads and it being the central, I probably wouldn't be as optimistic as I am. Because at this point, I'll say this, and it may really surprise everybody. I'll almost be surprised that they don't get in now. And then it turns into, with the pitching staff, you know, you may be shooting for the stars. I don't know. But yeah, with the caveat also being they haven't been very good in the Central, but I'm also thinking that that's going to level out. And they're going to win some games here. Like today, I really thought they kind of I felt like they were the better team tonight. And that's the first time all year against Pittsburgh that I've actually felt like that. So I don't know. I have more confidence now than I have at any point, and I think that may be confidence out of looking at the schedules of the other clubs as well. What they're going to run into, which worries me, is that the seven left with Chicago, where we think that we're going to gain, that the Cardinals are going to gain ground. You wonder if the Cubs don't want to step on their throat. I worried about that while they were on the West Coast, but now I'm starting to wonder, are the Cubs that much better? I'm not convinced that they are. So, I don't know. It's going to be a crazy 3 weeks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this, if you're going to look at the Cubs and the Cardinals this year, you know, the Cardinals have played with them. I think that, you know, obviously they have a losing record against them, but you think about, you know, that first series of the year where it felt like they could have swept and they lost, you know, two of three. A couple other games that have turned late that they've played them very well. So it feels like, you know, they can compete with the Cubs. Doesn't mean, you know, again, doesn't mean they're going to win those games, but they have a strong possibility of doing that. You know, looking at the FanGraphs projections, this is before tonight's games, the Cardinals were at 21.8% of a playoff possibility, which was, you know, of course they'd lost last night, so that dropped it about 10%. I think they were right around a third, you know, 33% or so, right around that place before that loss. So, you know, every loss is just so critical right now. You gotta hate to see them, but it's unlikely that they're gonna go, you know, 22-0 down the stretch yeah. either. So
yeah,
but nobody else is either, unless they're Cleveland, I guess. But you know, so you just gotta hope. I think to some degree, you just gotta hope that your loss comes on a night where the Brewers or the Rockies also lose, and hope they lose a little bit more than you do. I don't know. I don't think I'm to your point where you are that I think they're going to get in. I do think their chances are better than – I'm more optimistic than I was, but that doesn't mean I'm optimistic.
Sure.
I just look at some of that, and I think, man, you know, like I said, you could win two-thirds of your games from here on in and still not make the playoffs. So I don't know if this team can play 700 ball even for that short period of time. Now – they have looked better, and they have done made a move this week to kind of shore up the bullpen. They got how do you say his last name?
Nicasio.
I never, you know, I did this with Kyle last night, and I've seen it enough, but I've not said it enough. So Nicasio. They get him for Alvarez, and Kyle and I talked about that part of the deal last night. But let's talk about the major league side of things. You know, it is strange that the Cardinals didn't make this move in time to make him eligible for the postseason, but there's a whole lot of ramifications and things that can go along with that. I think it just says, I think it's something about what the Cardinals have done lately, that the team said, okay, we can do this. It's not huge, but we can make this move and try to shore up and give you a better chance of making the playoffs. And then once we get there, we'll figure out the pitching staff from there. And it should work. I mean, he pitched tonight. He pitched an inning, a third, and pitched really well. Made a nice, strong play on his first batter. I don't know. What do you think about it?
I liked it. I liked the move. It was really funny. The day before they announced the trade, looking back on it, I found it kind of interesting that Rick Kummel was on with Cusmano, and he was on the morning show on 590, and he made the comment. He said, "What do you think the chances are of making the playoffs?" They asked Hummel, and Hummel made the comment. He said, "If they had a bullpen, I think they could win the division." He said, "They just don't have a bullpen arm to go out there and get anybody out." And they announced the trade the next day. And I do think that – I don't think he knew anything, but I think that everybody saw that, hey, this is in striking distance. I think we may have to roll the dice on getting somebody in here that can get these big outs, because that's what we lack. So I liked the move. Now, I know that it wasn't entirely popular to lose a guy in your – you know, on your MLB pipeline page that's on your 40 man, And it all kinds of comes together. They were disappointed in the fact that Alvarez didn't perform well at Springfield, and he didn't really have a good year at all. And there's a price to doing business, is basically what Mozeliak said. And I agree with it. I think you have to get in. You know, I know that there's a lot of prospect talk, and this year's been great for that. But I think we fall in love with these guys a little too much. And I think there's times where we're going to have to roll the dice for the big league club to try to get in, and then you figure it out from there. We all know that the system's loaded. I mean, will anybody remember Alvarez next year? I doubt it. You know, if they get into the playoffs, it's going to be a worthy trade. And I think the upside is I would buy off on the upside more than the downside of trading the prospect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Kyle, I got into that somewhat last night. And I think it just, the organization must have, I don't want to say soured on Alvarez, but definitely felt like he didn't fit into the plan as much. And instead of, you know, just letting him go at the end of the year, because this 40-man is going to still need some work, even though the Cardinals have done a number of things as of late to shake things up. You know, I think that they just felt like they could get 3 weeks of Nicasio and maybe re-sign him, who knows, but even if they don't or don't want to go that route, they free up that 40-man spot that they were looking for. And, you know, if they get in, if they make a run, hey, so much the better, but at least it wasn't just wasting the prospect. Now, you know, he may do well for Pittsburgh next year. I mean, Philadelphia, and that's the good thing. I mean, I keep thinking it's Pittsburgh, but it's Philadelphia. So even if he does do well, Cardinals only see him six times a year instead of being in Pittsburgh where he would, you know, do that forever. Now, there was that idea. Pittsburgh, Neil Huntington came out and said, hey, some team claimed him, and they didn't want to do the waiver trade because the other team didn't offer squat, basically. Everybody kind of thought it was the Cardinals that they offered, you know, they did this, and the Pirates didn't want him to go to St. Louis, so they waive him, Philadelphia gets him, he winds up in St. Louis anyway. But apparently it was not the Cardinals that did the claiming, which means it was probably either Milwaukee or the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, way to go, Pittsburgh. Appreciate that, because heaven knows Pittsburgh sent enough things to Chicago over the last few years. I still remember, you know, Aramis Ramirez going there for peanuts. So
yeah,
it's very nice to see them stand their ground for once. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I'm looking forward to it, and it does give. Now, do you think this means, and especially we saw it tonight, you know, like I said, we saw him pitch the last of the eighth and then the ninth tonight. Is he the new closer? Is he the guy that locks it down for the next 3 weeks?
I don't know. No, that's where it gets a little bit interesting, because you think you would have to form that role. You know, that's it. You know, just like you and I were talking about, I like the idea of, as well as the starting rotation pitching, just name Lyons as your closer right now. And then you made the comment of, hey, I like him being the fireman that can get guys out. And I was like, you know what, I really like that too, because he's so lethal. I wonder if they're not going to split it between those two for that situation, and not really name anybody, which I'm kind of against. I think I'd like the structure at the back end. But if they're going to get guys out, so, I mean, that's all that matters at this point. So I don't know. He'll probably get his fair share. He doesn't really have splits. I mean, he gets lefties out at a pretty high clip.
He's better against lefties, even.
Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to split it up, and I don't even think they've planned that far ahead. I just think they want to get guys out.
Well, and it's funny, because I saw some people on Twitter saying that, you know, Nicasio should face any tough lefty in a big situation from now on. Which, I mean, I think his OPS, his OPS against lefties is like 405 or something. I mean, he's been very dominant against, he's been fine against righties too. It's not a Sung Won Oh situation in reverse where, you know, although Sung Won Oh is not any much better against righties anymore, but
wow.
You know, lefties used to pound him, and they still do, so for the most part. You think about 2011 and the, you know, Tony La Russa famously would not call Jason Mott the closer, even though he came in the ninth every time around. So it seems unlikely that they would really claim that. But Yeah, I think that, you know, you've got two guys in Lyons and Nicasio that you can use in the ninth inning, depending on matchups. You know, I don't, and they're guys that can get the other batter out. You don't have to go, you know, yanking them after a batter or two if you don't want to. Although, you know, that's kind of what we saw last Saturday, and it didn't work out well. So I think that that's good, and that can, you know, that can shore things up. It's just, you know, again, as we've said so many times, it depends on how Mike Matheny uses his bullpen. And, you know, we kind of saw last night, you know, there wasn't really any reason that Sung-Won Oh needed to be out there when Nicasio was available. You know, the Cardinals were down one, but, you know, much rather be down one than down three or four or whatever it was going to be by the time Oh got done. And I know O's wasn't, you know, Duke didn't do his job either, but, you know, it's gotten to the point with Sung-Won Oh, I don't know when you throw him. I mean, he's just going to have to sit out there probably until there's a five-run lead or a five-run deficit.
Yeah, and that's, and you're right. That's it drives me nuts. The guys come up here and collect dust. You know, the one appearance, and you know, the guy timed his fastball, he crushed it. I mean, that stuff happens. But then he looked really good after that. You know, so walked the guy, but then he struck out one of the league's best in Posey. You know, it's one of those. That's it's his first time. I mean,
Flaherty, you're talking about Alcantara.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's I should have said the name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
but
fine.
Just
in case somebody was listening that didn't know, but they probably all do because you've got to be pretty
hardcore
to be listening to us. So
yeah. So yeah, and then they collect dust and then they throw Oh. But I can kind of understand the idea of not throwing Nicasio or last night or yesterday just due to the fact of him just getting there. We don't know. I heard he got there the night before. I've heard that he wasn't, you know, one of those. That could have played a factor in why he wasn't used. I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, which is probably wrong on my part. But then, I don't know. It just right when O was warming up, I'm thinking, I don't know how many more chances he needs to have at this point. Nothing's turned out well. He doesn't get guys out anymore. So, I don't know. You're right. I mean, it's going to be in those blowout games. And then, you know, this is the kiss of death of what we're, you know, down the line. But any possible playoff situation, that's going to be interesting how they make those decisions. Because there's some guys that are just – that's just going to be tough to – it's going to be tough to explain some of the guys being in those big games.
Yeah, I mean, again, odds are you're not going to worry about it. But if they do have to start worrying about a playoff roster – I like to feel like, especially since Mo and Gersh are going to be the ones putting it together. I know Matheny would have input, but they're going to be the ones putting it together. You know, I think that they would not take O. I think that they would, you know, fix this up. And I don't know. You'd have to look at this. I think Ryan Sheriff has probably done enough to make his way onto a postseason roster.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, things like that. You know, and Alcantara, if he gets another, you know, get some more chances here and there, may get, you know, maybe he could work his way there because a strong arm like that is big. He just, you know, the command can be an issue too. But yeah, I think that, you know, you can't take a guy like Oh and put him on the Shelby Miller scholarship, as it were. The guy that you never want to actually use. You know, Michael Walker has been there. I think maybe Tyler Lyons was even there 1 year. I'm not 100% sure, but it was the guy that, you know, it sits out there for long relief or sits out there for the big blowout that never comes. You just can't afford to take those. So, yeah, I think the playoff roster would be interesting, and it's definitely something to kind of look at maybe if the Cardinals are still in the hunt in a week or so.
Well, and like I was thinking about that during the Padres series, especially after he gave up the bomb. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is Edmonds was calling that home run the entire at bat. And I was like, oh, he sees it. Now we know Edmonds is one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw it. And I was like, well, it's not that big of a mystery. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that puts yourself in the best situation to win. Now, you know, kind of on that as well, I'm naturally assuming further than I should, but that would also be a more than a one-game playoff scenario where you had them on. In a situation where, say, Wainwright's back and we get something, I'm assuming Flaherty will probably go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, so right. they would have some options. But, man, I feel like you have to throw the Contra and figure out what you're going to do, figure what these guys have, as opposed to throwing O every time, because I'm just not sure. I have zero confidence in him getting outs.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you get to the playoffs, I mean, you got Michael Walker that probably goes to the bullpen too, because you only need four starters. And honestly, right now, Luke Weaver is going to be one of your four starters.
It's
Martinez.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree. If you do go to anything more than the one game playoff, and your top three aren't Martinez, Weaver, Lynn, well then you're doing it wrong.
Right.
You know, that's where there would be the mistake. And if Wainwright's back, he's naturally going to take that fourth spot. So I'm still curious to see if he comes back at all. You know, we heard that he was going to ramp up the pitching or ramp up the rehab. Later on this weekend. But you know, like I said, you and I were kind of talking. It's kind of been out of sight, out of mind, and you just kind of wonder if that's even going to happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, I get if he's just ramping it up this weekend, that means he probably, you know, he's probably gone for this whole homestand, which means that you're down to the last 2 weeks of the season, and you know, those are games. Get into the last 2 weeks of the season, seven of those games, that's where you get the seven against the Cubs, you got three against the Brewers. You know, that's 10 of your 16 games after this homestand that are, you know, pretty important games.
Yeah.
And you've got to be really confident in a Wainwright coming back for him to go out there and start one of those games. I mean, maybe he could start, although, you know, starting him in Cincinnati is not a good idea either, and, you know, maybe he could start against the Pirates, but you know, I think it is. It's dangerous right now to run Adam Wainwright out there as a starter unless you're really, really confident on what he can bring to you. So maybe they move him to the bullpen, you know, that way he doesn't have to worry about, you know, building up his stamina back up. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, and it may be a moot point. You know, by the time he's ready to go, you know, a couple of bad losses, and you're looking at, you know, not worrying about October. So I think it's interesting to keep an eye on, and you're right, we just haven't heard a lot, which means it's not like he's... I say that. It feels like sometimes that we don't hear anything, and then the next day it's like, oh, and by the way, he's done, and he's coming back, you know, Tuesday. You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing. And it's like,
I know
what,
it.
Why are we just now getting an update like that? But, you know, like you said, I can't see him homing back on this homestand, and that becomes problematic with the teams that are still out there. Talk a little bit about Jack Flaherty, especially, like I said, again, another thing that Kyle and I referenced last night, but it's been kind of nice to see him up. I think he still has some work to do. I don't think anybody would argue that. But he's going to be in that mix for the fifth starter for next year at this rate. And, you know, this kind of experience is only going to help him.
Yeah. Well, and that's – I've heard Mozeliak twice, once on the air on the pregame today, and then he was on with Bernie this week, and he really likes Flaherty. I mean, he made that clear. And, you know, I've heard several interviews with him on the air and on the radio – or on the television and on the radio, where he constantly brings him up. So that's obviously somebody they're really high on. Wish we could see that as much as quickly as he's gone through the system and, and as well as he's pitched. And I don't know. I mean, it really points toward that he may have the leg up next year, you know, on a starting spot. I mean, I think you've got a pencil Weaver in. And Mozeliak had pretty much said that this week. He's got a ways to go, and I mean that's it. I didn't think he ever looked overmatched, but he kind of looked predictable in San Francisco, and that's one of those teams that I understand that yeah they're bad right now, but they're talented, and they kind of picked him apart. But I thought he looked like he really really belonged in San Diego. I thought he pitched well and got out of some jams, you know, worked himself into some situations, but got himself out of them. You know, it's interesting. They're really high on him, and it would take a lot of convincing for me to think that Wainwright is better at this point for the rest of this season anyway, you know, to help him out. So, I mean, I'm kind of glad to see him, and I'm glad they're giving him a shot.
Yeah, I mean, and if you subscribe to the theory, which it really does go both ways, but, you know, the batters won't have seen him in most of these teams that he's going to be facing. He's probably he might wind up facing the Cubs or the Reds, you know, for twice in the span, but depending on how the rotation shakes out. But, you know, it would have a little bit of unfamiliarity with him. Now, you know, it goes the other way as well, but, you know, to counteract that, you have Yadier Molina back there who knows everybody, you know, very, you know, all the way down to their blood type and family dog. But, so I think that, yeah, I think it's interesting. And again, you know, he's probably got that. Yeah, I think the next year's spring training with all these different arms that could be involved in this mix is in. But, you know, with an extra spot now, with Leak gone, Lynn most likely gone, you know, that just leaves you three of the starters from the beginning of the year, assuming that Wainwright comes back and can be a starter next year. Means you'll have two spots to fill. And like you said, Luke Weaver should be one of them, because Luke Weaver has been outstanding. I don't think... I know we all, you know, I knew Luke Weaver, highly rated. We knew he was going to be probably pretty good. But I don't think anybody really expected him to have the strikeout numbers that we're seeing over the last three or four starts. And just the, you know, real dominance. I mean, he didn't go as long tonight as he has been. But he just really hasn't, you know, the only bad start he's had was that one against Arizona where that was just a grand slam. And that was all he gave up. You know, four runs is a lot, but when it comes on one swing, you know, it's not like you were having a real bad game. You just had a bad couple of moments. He's just been, I think, much more than anybody really expected.
Yeah, I agree. And it's anytime he's scheduled to start, I think they have the advantage. You know, I think that highly of him. And, I mean, I probably wouldn't have said that midway through the summer. But, yeah, he's impressive. I mean, I thought he was impressive tonight. I mean, he struck out seven. And he threw a ton of pitches. Kind of, he couldn't finish off the inning there, and you could tell he was frustrated about it. And that was the one knock, he couldn't get through the sixth. But he, you know, he did throw a lot of pitches. Worked some counts on him. But he overmatched a lot of those guys. So yeah, I mean, I'm confident in him being in the rotation. Next year, I think that if I was to pick a five next year. And they don't get a starter. Let's say Lynn leaves for certain, and which seems almost probable, and or definitely probable. And they don't trade or sign another arm, and they go with Martinez. It'd be, you know, you'd go Martinez, you'd go Wainwright, considering he's healthy. You'd go Weaver, you'd go Waka. Then you'd think Flaherty'd have the leg up on that. I think they would use that until they ran into any innings limit, where at that point I think Reyes would be ready. So I don't know. They may have more flexibility than I gave them credit for. I still think, I know Lynn kind of clogs things up, but you know what you're going to get out of him. You know, there was some age track on Lynn that I was reading the other day that shows that anything more than a 2 or 3 year deal will be a bad idea. So I don't know, that will probably play a factor in it as well. So, but I mean, to answer the question, I think that he's got to be in it, and I feel like they feel that's the plan anyway.
Yeah, it probably is. I will say there was a comment by Mo. I don't remember where I heard it. Maybe it was in the radio interview that got passed around a lot this week, where he was talking about the players being baited by the media to say bad things about the Leak trade, which was an interesting tact for Mo to take. Let me put it that way. But he said something that made it sound like there was at least a consideration of Reyes starting the year in the rotation, or at least being considered for that. And you know, I really, again, he was so emphatic at Blogger Day that Reyes wouldn't have started this year. That just doesn't make any sense to me to start him, you know, next year after Tommy John surgery. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, maybe they're just leaving that option open just so he can be competitive at it. But you got all those guys. You've got, you know, you don't know if Alcantara is going to stay in the bullpen or move back to the rotation, although it seems like if he's going to go rotation, he'll probably get some time in Memphis instead. We don't know what's going on with Austin Gomber. You know, that's another topic that Kyle and I tackled last night, but you know, you would think, assuming he's still with the organization, he's going to be in that mix. You know, you got Ryan Helsley coming soon, maybe could be in that. You know, lots of different options, and that's not saying that they won't go out and sign some sort of veteran guy to a 1 year, 2 year deal. I think that, you know, they did say when they traded Leake they wanted to get younger, but you know, if you can get a guy that's, you know, quality veteran for 2 years, you know, maybe that's what they'll go ahead and do. I don't know. You know, the difference being, you know, between him and Lynn, you don't want that 5 year commitment. I don't know. I think next year, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about next year, but that's that next spring or what, depending on what happens this offseason. I mean, Mo may make enough trades that it's pretty clear what's going to happen, but I think that fifth rotation spot is going to be very significant race next year. And we've seen that. And again, you know, whoever wins it then doesn't mean that that's the best player. I mean, we saw that this year when, you know, everybody talks about Tommy Pham not starting the year on the roster, and that's fair. But, you know, coming out of spring training, Jose Martinez had well outplayed him. So, you know, just because you win it and we're in spring, that may give you a leg up. That doesn't mean that's going to be the way the season ends.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, to go back on the pitching, you know, real quick, I almost felt like he said the thing about Reyes in the rotation. I think they're going to go to that camp and say, hey, prepare as a starter. Mm-hmm. With the mindset of, hey, if he blows us away, then we'll consider it. If not, we need that power arm in the back of the bullpen, so, you know, we're covered both ways. That's kind of the feeling I got on that interview whenever he said that. But you're right. I figure that, you know, Gant, I'm assuming it's probably bullpen next year. Would you agree with that? Big league bullpen next year?
I mean, if he's around, he almost has to be, but... You know, I don't know that he did enough that, you know, I think that they'd probably keep him on the roster. But, I could see him in Memphis again, too.
I didn't mean it like that. I was just kind of mapping out who.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not a starter.
They like to have the, this seems like the sixth capable starter.
Right.
Usually in Memphis. You know, and I just wonder who that would be. Now, he would be like the low-hanging fruit on that, really. But you wonder where Gomber does fit in. You wonder where Hudson fits in, because that's another name that Mo brought up a lot, was Hudson. You know, they seem to be enamored with him. So that would be somebody that's probably fast-tracked. I mean, he may be on the Weaver/Flaherty/Reyes, you know, kick to be ready pretty quick. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, they definitely have a position of strength to make some moves in terms of things over, be it your pitching and your outfielders, and it could be exciting. I mean, to see what would happen. I think they're going to upgrade at some spots. I've grown more and more to think that the lineup for next year may not be greatly different. And you know, that may be a wet rag to throw out there. I don't know, but it seems like they are dysfunctional in spots, but they do like the guys that they have. So it's just kind of, I'm curious to see how things are going to play out.
I don't want to too much, but yeah, it feels like they need to do some more. But again, if they didn't, you look at this season, and as much as we've complained about this season, you know, they've lost 22 games from the bullpen. You know, if you win 5 of those games, you're in a, you know, tie for first right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that that's, you know, it's a weak division, so that helped, but, you know, if you could just get, you know, fix that. And he kind of feel like if the bullpen is better than it was. I mean, they still lose the game here and there, but it feels like it's much better than it was early in the year. Maybe not. Maybe we've just had more starters going deeper, and so we're not seeing them as much. But, you know, with Lyons, you know, really breaking out, and, you know, now you've got Nicasio, and, you know, Bowman is still, he's not as effective as he was at the beginning of the year, but he's still usually all right. And here and there, if you ran back the same team, yeah, you would be better next year. Now, the problem is the Brewers are going to be better. The Cubs will probably play better. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is going to be better. So you can't rely on this team won 85 games. Let's say that's what they wind up winning. And Mo can't come out and say, well, we won 85 games and the bullpen's going to be better, so we'll be fine next year. Well, it doesn't necessarily work that way because they might win 87 and be out of it by mid-August. If things go right for somebody else. So I don't know. I think they probably still have some work that they're going to have to do. But whether they, you know, what that is, I don't know for sure. Before we get past Weaver, though, I do want to ask, we had a question come in on Twitter tonight from Cards Nation 24/7, which you also, they have a Facebook page, Cards Nation 247, and they asked us, in hindsight, would Piscotty and Weaver been worth Sonny Gray? And I wanted, you know, as much as we were just talking about how Weaver was doing, kind of wanted to revisit that here. Let me really quickly here pull up what Sonny Gray has done for the Yankees. You know, 3-4 with a 2.47 ERA. Struck out 40 guys in 42 2/3 innings. Boy, he's got a pretty good difference between that and his FIP. His FIP is 4.05. You know, his numbers look pretty much in line with what they were in Oakland. some of his rate stats, like strikeout per nine and stuff like that. I mean, right now, you know, what's the point? I think that they've got Luke Weaver. I think they would much rather have had Luke Weaver than Sonny Gray anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. I found that interesting that they tried that, and I wondered if that wasn't. I kind of backtrack on what I was going to say. I was more excited about that trade to trade out Piscotty than I was to get Gray back, because I've never really been that high on Sonny Gray anyway. You know, it was funny. We were in some of the Redbird Daily group messages at one point, and I was like, okay. And it was when I was really on the Lynn kick. I was doing research about bringing him back, what it would take, what's the high ceiling for these guys. And Kyle had made the comment. He said, well, the ceiling for Weaver may be Sonny Gray, like a good 3, a decent 2. And I was like, well, that's Lynn right now. I mean, you've got him, and you've got a Weaver and Flaherty ready. So I've never been that high on him. So in hindsight, like the question said, I'm really glad they didn't make the move. I was more fired up about the fact that they were actually looking to benefit Piscotty by moving him to the coast, and selfishly to get him out of the organization. You know, to maybe get him another look, and we can get some more bats with some of the younger guys. It's proved to be beneficial to the team. So yeah, I'm glad I'm definitely glad the move didn't happen, but the angle that I'm coming from with that is more of the Piscotty angle, and would have liked to have seen him shipped out than I would have seen Gray brought in. And it would have hurt with Weaver gone.
Yeah. And I think that we would have looked at that as an overpay, especially if Weaver had done that for the A's. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, it would have cleared up a little bit of the problem out there. And we saw Piscotty hit very well in San Diego with his family in the crowd. You do wonder how much that plays in. I mean, you hate to blame that situation, you know, blame his hitting on that, because that's not completely true. I mean, he was hitting before at least we found out. Now, I don't know how long the family has known about his mother's diagnosis, but before it was made public, he was not hitting well. And part of that was from changing his swing last year. So you can't say, you know, his mind's just not on it. I'm sure that's part of it. And so you wonder, what do you do better out in the West Coast? Is that something that works for him? I don't know. I still think he's going to rebound some next year, either way, no matter where he's at. And I still think it's probably St. Louis, but it just depends. I mean, if they do go out and get that big bat and it's an outfielder, you know, where do you play him, depending on who goes on the Teals? So, I don't know. But I think that, yeah, I think right now, Oakland had a different perspective on what they wanted. But if they were looking for immediate returns, they would probably be wish they had taken that deal. But that's not what they were looking for. They were looking for more prospect type stuff, and that's not what the Cardinals were offering. Yeah. So it didn't make any difference that way. But yeah, I think right now, I think the Cardinals are probably fine that they didn't make that deal anyway.
Yeah, I think that St. Louis is pretty happy with how they did handle the deadline, to where they dabbled in a lot of things. The price was too high, and they kind of held back and kept what they've got. Because what they kept is actually helping the ball club right now. So, yeah. I mean, I think that the gambles that they've played off for the second half of the season, the gambles that they pushed the chips in for the first half of the season has what's gotten them into this spot. You know what I mean? If they'd have been playing as well as they had the second half as they did in the first half, they'd be all right. But, you know, Carpenter didn't balance out. Scotty hadn't balanced out. Grichuk had a long stretch of the first half where he wasn't very, very good. And, you know, Fowler had a slow start. So, you know, you never know. These guys have rebounded and they've become, you know, they're a lot better. And, you know, you get your Baiters and you get some of this injection of new life in, and you're a different ball club. So, you know, I think they're pretty happy with where they are right now as far as the decisions they've made with the second half in mind.
Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned Matt Carpenter. Let's talk a little bit about the injuries that we're seeing right now. And let's mainly talk about Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter missed a number of games on the West Coast, talking about shoulder tendonitis, an issue that apparently he has had most of the season. You know, you and I were talking beforehand, even tonight, even after his cortisone shot that's apparently taking effect and such of that nature, you know, he still can't make a very strong throw from third. And I saw that earlier, you know, last month, and you kind of just kind of wrote it off as, you know, Matt Carpenter can't play defense. But I think it's the arm is a significant part of that, because it's just a, you know, half throw, jump, you know, the jump throw type of thing. There's nothing behind it. And I guess what boils down to, and we have this conversation a lot, and I assume every team has these conversations a lot. I don't want to boil it down to just the Cardinals, but at what point there's a lot of different ways to look at this. You know, at what point does the player need to realize that they're hurting the team and tell somebody that they're hurt? What point does a medical staff, you know, or a manager or somebody try to do a little bit more than just ask the player if he's hurt? You know, at what point in time, it feels like, and you know, a lot of people go boil that down to selfishness on Carpenter's part, and that's not fair, because we've seen so many people over the past years that have done the same thing. It's a ballplayer mentality to want to be out there, and you think even 80% of you or 70% of you or whatever percentage you're giving is better than the next guy up, which is pretty arrogant, but I guess you have to be arrogant to be a ballplayer. I mean, where does it boil down to? I mean, I guess let's start with this. How much of this year's struggles should we put on Carpenter's shoulder now?
That's a good question. I mean, I would like to know how long this has been going on. He didn't answer the bell, you know, to be that middle of the order hitter that they needed, and that has really been a lot of the reasons they have been in flux a lot of the year, you know, because that none of the roles have been solidified at that point. And You know, I don't know. I still, like we were talking before the show, at this point right now, I would much rather see Carpenter playing third with the, you know, with a limp arm than I would seeing Garcia and Mejia out and out there every day. You know, so on that, that's, you know, split the third bit every, yeah, every night, because I'd say Carpenter's a better option. I mean, that's, you know, he gets in the lineup and he walks three times, scores a run today. You know, he's productive when he's in it. I know that that's going to, we're always going to worry about that throw. And I, at this point, I sure don't want him to take any innings away from Martinez, but I still think he's an option that helps you. You know, to answer your question, I don't know. It's a good one. I mean, I felt like I like Carpenter, but when he was out of the lineup, it felt a lot, it felt a lot more electric in San Francisco. And even in the, started the series in San Diego. It felt like a different team than they have all year. Then, you know, he comes back in and looks bad. Then that's when they shelve him for the last two. Tonight looked a little bit different, looked a little bit healthier, but the throws were bad. But I still, it's not to a point where I think he needs to play first and Martinez play somewhere else. I think they've got something good going here. Hopefully they can hide him at third a little bit and it doesn't hurt him in the long run. And, you know, late in games, maybe they can play Mejia there or however it works out. Kind of going back to the Jericho deal. You know, he's going to run tomorrow to see when he can come off, but they just want him to come off just to hit and not run. So that doesn't sound like that's somebody that's going to be ready to go in the next week to 2 weeks. So it could be a little while. But with that being said, I would rather have Carpenter in the lineup now as opposed to the other options just because I have more confidence in his bat. So hopefully it works out and just doesn't burn him.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, you know, you look at tonight – and I don't think it tells us anything. You know, three walks, and I didn't see his out. But I would assume that, you know, you don't know if that bat's, if he's going to be able to put any authority on that, those swings, even with the cortisone shot. I mean, obviously he brings something to, I mean, if he's working pitches and drawing walks, and that's very valuable as well. But, you know, if he's not going to be able to put a little thump in the bat, you start wondering. I mean, you know, where's the line get drawn? You know, where is a compromised Carpenter better than Garcia or Mejia or anything like that? And like I said, you're right. That line is pretty far down there. I mean, you'd rather have Carpenter most every time. But you know, honestly, there are times where there's not that much difference. And that's disappointing to say, given how tight this offense is tied to Matt Carpenter, at least it has been in the past. So, Colton Wong still out with a shoulder with injury, and I've forgotten actually, honestly, what his is.
Back.
His back. That's right. His back was tightening up.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand that one. my back does plenty of that itself. I'm holding out of shape. He shouldn't be having any problems. So, Colton, as we've talked about before, having a very solidly good year and kind of quietly, it makes a lot of difference when he's out there because you're not seeing, I mean, even tonight, you know, Carpenter's back at third, but you've got a Mejia at short because DeJong's having a night off and you got Garcia at second and you don't really like that bottom of the lineup, but when Colton Wong's hitting seventh, you know, that's so much better.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, he's had a good year, had a great year actually, and has, and on, that's on both sides of the ball. And I think he's taking a leadership role. And I think that's going to go a long way to him. I mean, whatever differences he and Matheny had, he seemed to have grown from it. Because I think they're a much better team with him in the lineup. It sounds like I beat up, not to go right back to it, but it sounds like I beat up Piscotty on here a lot. And I know we want him to succeed, but I think their lineup's lethal with Wong 7 and Grichik 8. I mean, if your lineup is lengthened to where those two are in that spot, you got a pretty good lineup. I really hope he plays tomorrow because that injury has me nervous. I mean, because he left early in the San Diego series to come back to get treatment, and when you hear it's on a back, you're like, oh man, this doesn't sound good. So I knew that whenever Hayes had posted that he hit with the ball club on the field today and took infield, that was a good sign. And then I think that he probably just, I think he was just ready probably a little too late, or he probably would have been in the lineup today. So I'm hoping he plays tomorrow. If their infield is Carpenter, DeYoung, Wong, and Martinez tomorrow, I'll be pretty happy. I would be really, really happy if their outfield is Pham, Fowler, and Grichuk. So, you know, if we see that, I'll be excited. So I'm not positive that's going to happen.
No, there's no telling. It's very funny. And again, I have said it before. You know, give me all the crow what you want, but you know, I was never figured out why the Cardinals kept Jose Martinez on the 40-man last year and into the winter, and he's obviously shown why. He's had a very strong year, even from, you know, beating out Tommy Pham. And I know he's had a little bit of time in Memphis, but right now he's playing solid first base when he has to play there. And he seems like every night he's coming up with a big hit. You know, got a big single tonight with bases loaded. He's had some home runs. You know, again, I know Mo came out and said they were excited and they liked what they saw out of him at first base, and that helps when they're starting to think about next year and things of that nature. I don't think we necessarily want to see Jose Martinez as a regular on the 2018 team. But I think we've gotten to the point where if he's the fourth outfielder or the backup first baseman, you know, which doesn't bode well for Luke Voit, but that's another story. If that happens, you probably could get by with, because he's a pretty solid option, especially coming off the bench.
Yeah, that's I didn't want to see him, you know, when there was a lot of guys that were right on the fence in that 50-50 of whether staying or coming, whenever some of the guys were getting activated off the disabled list, I thought he filled the role perfectly of that fourth outfielder, occasional first baseman, and that pinch hitter, just because he can hit. And, I mean, he's got to give him credit, and I know we have. Man, he's taken the opportunity and ran with it. You know, he's hit. I mean, he's the middle-of-the-order guy right now, and that's pretty impressive. What I like, too, is that he's athletic. You know, he doesn't clog up the bases. He runs pretty well. So, I don't know. I mean, that's just one of those things, just like when Sierra came up, and he was the exact component that the Cardinals lacked whenever he came up, with someone that was a great outfielder. He was electric, taking extra bases, stealing bags. I kind of feel like that with Martinez, that he's kind of like that injection of not necessarily youth, but enthusiasm that the stale roster has needed all year. And it's like it's really coming through now in the dog days of, hey, we're right in the middle of this. Let's keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep grinding. And he's like a breath of fresh air right now. So it's a tough, it's an easy story to cheer for.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, you can't fault him. The guy plays well, plays hard, seems to enjoy himself, and he's, you know, obviously not perfect, and we've seen that, but it's nice to see him contributing and doing well. You know, Tommy Pham's got a shoulder issue. You know, he played tonight. In theory, he's getting better. You know, Dexter Fowler's been out. You know, this outfield, we've talked about it for a while. You know, it's got, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys probably right now, all of which that could start. Trying to juggle that down the stretch, if, you know, Pham is healthy, if Fowler's healthy, you know, I know Martinez is playing some first, but, you know, trying to get all those guys at bats, and I think that they need to be getting at bats, it's going to be difficult, a difficult situation, I would think, overall.
Yeah, it's going to be, like we've said all year, it's going to be interesting how the play is, how the innings are scheduled with these guys, and a lot of people that listen to us, and I kind of, maybe you and I, aren't completely positive that those right decisions are going to be made by Matheny about, you know, who needs to play when and who's getting the right amount of playing time. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. You know, Bader, he's one of those that I really thought would get exposed, but he's played well. He's another one of those guys that's a great base runner, adds another element that they lack, and it's tough to kind of keep him out of the lineup. Danny Mac made the comment last night with Piscotty hitting, he's got to be in the lineup. And when Pham comes back, he's got to be in the lineup. And, you know, Fowler's your center fielder and one of your better hitters, that Grichuk may be the odd man out. And I don't know, that just drives me crazy because, I mean, I understand he strikes out a lot, but, man, he's an extra base machine. And yeah, I just think they need that right now. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough. Whoever's pushing the buttons on that, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it will be, and it'll be something to watch, you know, over the next few weeks. And again, they don't have any more interleague plays, so they don't get to use the DH. And
what I like about, you know, we kind of beat up, not necessarily beat up Pham a little bit, but I think there's kind of a hesitancy for us to buy in on it on our show. I feel like, but there's one thing, there's things that he does that I love, like today on that 3-2 pitch that that Martinez muscled out. I don't know who else in the team goes to third on that. You know, that plays in front of him and he sees it, but it was just athletic. He's a really good base runner, and I always appreciate that. That's one of the main reasons I really love Fowler, because I think Fowler's a really good base runner. Martinez has kind of shown that a little bit, and I think that's a very undervalued resource on a team, is good base running, because I felt like, speaking of five wins bullpen-wise, we could probably name five wins base running wise that they've cost themselves.
Yeah,
and you know, I kind of appreciate it, and it's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it is, and it should be. Like I said, it's, we're not just dragging our feet to the end of the year, and that's good. It's a situation where we're still interested in watching them, and the season will be over soon, and we will be very, you know, after about a week of, you know, baseball, we'll start wondering, remembering why we want to watch this every day. No matter how bad it is, how frustrating it is, it's a lot better than the alternative of nothing. So, you know, hopefully we're looking at some October baseball, but even if not, let's, you know, I feel more confident that they'll finish the season over 500 than I did, you know, earlier in the year.
Well, you know, next Friday has a chance to be a lot of fun. Because that'll be an afternoon game in Chicago. And, you know, unless the bottom falls out, that'll be game one of a pretty good series. So we'll have quite a bit to talk about next Friday night.
Yeah, we probably should. So going to wrap it here. We've gone about our hour. But instead of our normal exit music or exit whatever you want to call it of Bruce Sutter, you know, wrapping up the 82 World Series, have something different tonight, and I'm going to let Alan talk a little bit about it, about why we've done that.
Well, it's important to me, and I feel like it was a pretty good shout-out. Don Williams died today, and anybody who's familiar with him, you know, country singer from the, you know, from the 70s, early 80s, has been around a long time. 78, passed away today. Means a lot to me. He was my grandpa's favorite musician. Well, my grandpa is the reason that I'm a Cardinals fan, one of the main reasons I'm a big baseball fan. He was, my grandpa was a huge Cards fan, huge music fan. He actually owned a music venue in Claremore, a town about, you know, about 15, 20 minutes outside of Tulsa, and did that. I've met Don Williams. He's had several acts go through. He's a class act. Great guy. I've seen him, you know, here in his late, like within the last 10 years when he came through Tulsa. So, all of you guys know Tulsa time, so we're going to close it out. Don Allen, this is for you.
All righty. And well, like I said, we'll do that. And until next week, when we're talking about this Cubs series coming up and hopefully a lot of wins against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in between, I'm Daniel. That's Allen. Good night.
Good night.
Living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time. Well, you know I've been through it when I set my watch back to it.